Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's topic was inspired by a blog post that I wrote. And actually, that blog post was inspired by a series of stories I did on Instagram. I'm the Money Saving Mom on Instagram, and I was talking about how our girls are going to college without going into debt. And that little series of Instagram stories sparked so much discussion, so much input, and so much pushback that I ended up doing a blog post that then that catapulted into a much larger conversation on Facebook and in the comments. And I was like, Jesse, you and I, we need to sit down and do a podcast on this because I want to get your perspective because you have lived this and walked this. You graduated undergrad debt-free and from law school debt-free. And there is this myth out there, and I keep hearing it from people, that it's impossible to graduate without debt. And so when I brought this up, I kept hearing from people saying, no, Crystal, you don't understand. That might have worked for your husband, but that was years ago. Or that might work for your daughters, but they're in Tennessee and we're not in Tennessee. Or that might work because they got academic scholarships, but we can't get academic scholarships. And it just was thing after thing after thing of people saying, this won't work. And I think right there, when we start from that belief, when we have that mindset that something isn't going to work, we're probably not going to
I was going to say, there's no probably. You're not going to do it. You can't do it.
I was trying to give people a little bit of benefit of doubt, you know.
And I know I'm speaking in absolutes, but in this situation, the first part, the first step, and I know we have some other things to talk about first, but the first step to getting something done is to first believe that it's possible. Because if you don't believe it's not possible.
You mean if you don't?
If you don't believe it's possible, you're not even going to start.
Yeah. And so that was the thing that was so interesting to me. And I feel like there must be so many voices out there perpetuating this belief that it is impossible to graduate without debt. In fact, someone left a comment on Facebook saying that their local radio station had just recently done this whole hour talking about how most people are going to have at least $100,000 worth of debt from college. And that's just normal.
I don't know if it's so much that somebody is, and the people are putting it out there that it's not possible. It's just an accepted quote unquote reality that you can't do it.
Well, and for me, the thing that I found so interesting is that me saying, here are some suggestions of ways to go to college without going into debt. I never said everyone can go to college without going into debt. That's not a statement that I'm going to make because I cannot speak to every single situation.
No, and every single situation is different.
You know, if you are going to go to some school and get some degree that is going to cost $600,000, I might encourage you to consider some other options, but I'm not saying that you're going to be able to do that debt-free. But what I am saying is that the majority of people, if they're willing to get creative, if they're willing to think outside the box, if they're willing to put forth effort, there are ways to graduate college without debt. And so we're going to talk about some of those today. Because we were raised, Jesse, you and I, with just I didn't know anybody. Can you think of anyone in our Like, I mean, we grew up somewhat in a bubble. We've talked about that in previous podcast episodes, but none of the teens that we grew up with, I can't think of anyone who went into debt to go to college. It was just a...
No, I mean, I
it was just
I don't
a
think
given.
So anyway.
Yeah, it was just kind of a given that you would come up with creative ways to go to college without debt. And it's not like most of the kids that we grew up with graduated from these illustrious colleges.
Well, it's also not like a lot of the people that we grew up with had money.
I mean, everyone, I would say by and large, was very careful with their money and very frugal.
They were frugal, careful, and they planned. And that's, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, that's really the first step in deciding that you're going to try. You don't have to succeed necessarily. You can try.
Well, and even
debt free.
Even if you don't fully succeed, if you go in and give it your best effort,
right,
you're likely going to graduate with a whole lot less debt than if you went in just being like, well, debt is inevitable. This is just what we do. We're just going to have to go into thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of debt because that's just what you do. And there's also this belief out there that college is good debt. Like it's investment debt. And it was interesting because think about when you were in law school and so many people that we were around in that law school crowd were going into a lot of debt to go to law school, but then also living as if they were already attorneys with the mindset of, well, when I graduate law school, I'm going to have so much money. I'm going to have this great job. And so let's go ahead and start living as if we're making great money. And we happen to know multiple people that years later are still struggling because they're carrying the weight of that debt on their back.
But also when we were living and going through that time period, I mean, we didn't see that the market was taking a serious downturn. We didn't see that the job market for lawyers was going to be in a glut and there was no jobs available, that you had to be creative in order to even get a job, unless you were at the, you know, top
of your class, got on law review. Yeah. And so that's the thing for me about debt is it's really kind of banking on the unknown. It's like banking that your future situation is going to be better than your present. When we saw that with the economy in 2007, 2008 was in the toilet. And if you were just fresh out of school trying to get a job, I mean, you know that because we walked that and it was near impossible to get a job if you were just, I mean, quote unquote, an average student who had graduated from law school, passed the bar, you couldn't find a job.
Right.
And you ended up finally getting the job as in a contract position. But yeah,
had to be creative.
Yes, you had to think outside the box. It wasn't your normal attorney job. And so I just say all this to think, I feel like we first have to challenge the mindset. Like going into school, not banking on the future, not banking on a future job, not banking on a future salary, living in the here and now. What can I afford here and now, right where I am? And let's base our decisions upon that, not upon some future, maybe might happen sort of situation. And so when we think of going to college debt-free, some things that we've learned because with walking with our girls the last 2 years, lots of research, lots of things that we've experienced, lots of things that we have learned the hard way and things that have worked. So we're going to share some ideas for saving on college tuition to help you think outside the box. The first thing that you learned from law school was to attend an in-state school. You saved so much money by going in-state. I mean, I think we're talking dozens of thousands of dollars, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I spent in the 1 year that I did not go in state when I went to a private school out of state.
For undergrad
was equal to more than my whole undergrad education if I would have paid for it. Well, even without scholarships, it was more than that.
I think it was also more than 1 year of law school as well.
It would have been about the equivalent of 1 year of law school.
Yeah. And so going in state for undergrad, all but the 1 year, and then law school saved thousands of dollars. I am assuming it was at least $100,000 probably if we added it all up.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to also include going to in-state law school.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like your undergrad and your in-state law school.
Yeah.
If you combine both of those, the money that you saved by staying in-state, way more than $100,000.
Way more.
I was trying to be very much on the low end so that I'm not being dramatic or
because where schools get you is with room and board.
Yes. Well, and so both of our girls have found that they're able to save so much money by going in state. And then also I think it's really important to look at what your state offers. Many states offer a state scholarship of sorts for you to stay in state because they want you to stay in state. It's good for the economy. It's good for the state as a whole for their colleges to be thriving. And then there's also some state scholarships that other schools outside of the state will take as well. And so that's something to look into. But Tennessee has both the Tennessee Promise and the Tennessee Hope scholarship, and they are a few thousand dollars per semester. Other states have similar programs, like Florida has Bright Futures, Georgia has a Hope Scholarship. So just look into what is available in your state and what the price would be to go in-state versus out-of-state. And start with that, because I think, you know, like you said, how much money you saved undergrad and law school, it could be hugely significant. Mm-hmm. And I think also then with that, you know, instead of, it's like, when I go to a restaurant or when I am shopping, I look at the price tag first before I look at the options. Like that's the first thing that I do. And so I think almost taking that mindset when it comes to college, pay attention to the price tag first and make your decisions, narrow your decisions down based upon price, not upon, oh, the world is my oyster and I could go anywhere. I know some people would very much disagree with that. But I think if you are really trying to be smart with your money, start with the price tag and let's look at that first. Another thing is to choose a less expensive college for your gen ed credits. And this is something that with all of these seniors that we have been around the last 2 years, it is not something we see people doing.
And honestly, you say that about people that we grew up with did not go into debt. That was primarily the tool that was used to get credits out of the way. It was going to a community college for the first 2 years.
Yes. Community colleges, again, if you have an in-state type of scholarship, mm-hmm. it's usually going to almost, I mean, I know in Tennessee, it fully covers
and
community college.
And then most of the times the credits are one for one. From my experience, when I took a summer class at a community college, it was one for one.
Yeah. So making sure the credits are going to transfer, but if you can get your gen ed credits out of the way at a much less expensive school, maybe even getting it for free with the scholarships, that's going to save you a lot of money.
And I think the key to all that is going in with eyes wide open and doing the research and knowing, okay, what credits will transfer.
What credits do I need?
What credits do you need? Don't be willy-nilly with how you're spending your money. Know what you need to spend, where you can save money.
And also your time. I mean, if you're taking a class that isn't going to transfer, that's
don't
not only
it.
Money, but that's a lot of your time as well. So knowing that, and in the same vein, if you can get those credits before you graduate by taking AP or dual credit classes in high school, so many people I know, their kids are graduating with sometimes even a full year of college credits or more because they've just been strategic in high school of taking the AP classes or the dual enrollment classes. You can also do CLEP test, And that is a way you can basically...
doesn't necessarily mean you'll pass, but you can do it.
No. Did you not pass?
I tried to.
I think my sister, I'm pretty sure she passed and she
clept. I'm the only one that I know of that took clep tests that didn't pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was the subject? Should we bring that up or is that still a sore topic?
I know one was history because I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, interesting. And I think, again, it's being smart. Mm-hmm. You don't just go take all these clep tests. But if you know someone who's done it and they can kind of guide you and help you, there are lots of resources online, lots of programs and things that can help you and guide you with that. But I think the dual enrollment classes are one of the easiest ways, because with the AP classes, again, you have to take a test and pass a test in order for it to count. Whereas dual enrollment, as long as you pass the class, you're going to get, I think, going to get the credit for that. And so looking for ways before you graduate to be able to accumulate those credits. And then also the first 1 or 2 years of college, can you go to a less expensive community college in order to get the gen ed credits?
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. If you've heard me talk at all over the last few years, you know that I went through a season where I had very severe seasonal allergies, and it took me a while to figure out what was triggering it, and it was debilitating. If you've ever suffered from this, I actually had my polyps got really swollen in my nose, and then I got chronic rhinitis, so I could not smell out of my nose. And not only that, but I would have these really awful headaches, the kind that just kept me from being able to enjoy my life. And I started going to an ENT, and one of the things that he recommended was Claritin D. And so for a time period, I took Claritin, and it was such a help to me. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. It works so well. I am a living testament to how well it works. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you've ever suffered from seasonal allergies, if you can relate to kind of some of the things that I have experienced and you want some relief, I highly recommend checking out Claritin D. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. Now, I've mentioned on the podcast recently that I have been pregnant or breastfeeding for 4.5 years. And that season of my life came to a close recently. And I was like, I forgot. I can wear normal clothes again that don't need to be breastfeeding friendly or constantly changing in sizes with a postpartum body. And so now I'm left with trying to figure out, well, what do I wear? What is my style? I can't even remember, and styles have changed so much in the last few years. And so I've been having fun experimenting with different types of clothing. And I love that Armoire has allowed me to try some different styles of jeans and kind of step outside my comfort zone and figure out what I love, what works for my body type, and to not have spent money on things that I was like, actually, this doesn't work, after I wore it a few times and realized I don't really like it. And so it's been a great opportunity for me to try out some new things and help me to define my personal style. And I also love that the style quiz, the different suggestions that they gave after I took the style quiz, it was right in line with what I would want to wear. And so I have just loved this service, and I would love for you to get to try it out and get a great deal. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. You were talking earlier about room and board and how that can be such a money maker for these colleges, basically. I mean,
You're a captive audience.
A lot of colleges require you to live on campus for the first year, unless you have your resident of that area. And by that, it means like your family, your parents actually live there. And they're pretty strict about it. It's not like you can just buy a house or your uncle lives there or something. Like, they're pretty strict. You have to actually live there. And so looking into that and seeing what are the pros and cons for our girls. And I know for you, an undergrad, you lived at home, except for the 1 year that you went to the private school, and that saved so much money for our girls. We bought a house. We were already planning to invest in rental property. We had the money set aside. So we bought a house there because it is a great place to have a rental house anyway. And so we're like, hey, we're just going to go ahead and do this, because it was somewhere in the vicinity of $12,000 to $14,000 a year for room and board. And so, yes, like, Catherine's had to pay for, you know, her gas back and forth from school, which she wouldn't if she were living on campus. And she's also paid for groceries, which she wouldn't if she were living on campus. And then there's some utilities and stuff. So it's not like she's saving $14,000.
Right.
But when you do the math, she's saving thousands of dollars by living off campus. And, you know, obviously she's getting a very great situation. You're not usually going to be able to find rent that cheap, but you might be able to live at home. That's one great option. Or looking into, you know, could you get, if the college allows you to live off campus, could you split an apartment with multiple people? You know, just looking into all your different options and not just being like, I have to live on campus and pay the $14,000 and just suck it up. And again, Catherine was actually planning to go to the college that she's going to for just 1 year, so that she didn't have to live on campus and pay the room and board.
And then she was going to try to transfer into the school that she had originally wanted to go to.
And but then she fell in love with the school that she was at. And so that's another option. You know, could you do community college for the first year?
because that a school might require you to live on campus. So you do community college for the first year to get your gen ed credits and get that first year out of the way, and then transfer so that you can live off campus. Then usually it's going to be less expensive.
I am finding so many students right now that are transferring to different schools after the first year. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like so you're going to stay at the same institution for all 4 years. So unless you're falling in love with the place where you're going to go immediately, there's a good possibility you're not going to be there.
Yeah. And so just recognize it's easy to kind of think this is the path that I'm taking and this is how the next 4 years, but giving yourself, like, keeping your hands open because a lot of things could change. On the flip side, I think looking into, okay, comparing what would living on campus, how much would that actually cost? And if you are able to get a lot of scholarships, there are many scholarships that can be applied to room and board. And so you might be able to get more scholarships than just the cost of your college, and you can apply those to room and board. And then therefore you would be able to not even need a car maybe, because you could just live on campus. So you wouldn't have gas expenses or car upkeep expenses. And then also you wouldn't necessarily have to buy much food at all, because you would just be able to, you know, get the food from the different campus cafeterias and stuff. So just looking into the different options. I know one of my friends, her daughter, she applied for a bunch of scholarships and got a full ride when combining the scholarships. And then she had some overage that she was able to apply to room and board. And so she is going to college completely for free, including living on campus. And it's covering her room and board as well. And so speaking of scholarships, this is something that I have learned so much in the last few years. And that is there are a myriad of scholarships out there that most people do not know about, are not tapping into, are not putting in the effort just because they don't know. Like, many people I'm finding think that, well, you know, unless the college that they apply to offers a scholarship, or maybe the high school that they go to, that's what they've got. Or maybe they think, well, my child isn't very academically, I don't know what the right word is. I was going to say academically bright. I don't think that's a great terminology.
Challenge.
You know, maybe they struggle academically. Yeah. And so then they're thinking, well, they're not going to get any scholarships, or maybe we don't qualify for financial aid, so we're not going to get any of those kinds of scholarships either.
Define financial aid. Financial aid is usually student loans. So are you talking about grants?
Yes. Or, I'm sorry. So, like, there are a lot of scholarships out there for people who are in lower income brackets, right, that sort of thing. And so people will think, well, we're not going to qualify for anything. But that's not true.
Yeah. Look,
the thing that I am discovering is that there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in scholarships just sitting out there. A lot of companies give scholarships out. And a lot of organizations give scholarships out. And so just start Googling, like, challenge your child when they're in ninth grade, start Googling, you know, maybe they're interested in baseball. We'll Google scholarships for people who like baseball. Maybe they're a swimmer, scholarships for swimmers. Like, just start searching and you will be surprised. One of my friends, she's a redhead, and she said, she found out after she went to school that there are scholarships for people who have red hair. Who would have thunk it, you know? And so I think to challenge your student to view it as a job, like a part-time job, that they're going to just start applying for every scholarship that they can find that they think they have some shot at getting. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. But I heard from multiple people who said they got scholarships because they were the only person who applied.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially look for kind of those out of the way ones that maybe it's only $500 or it's only $1,000, but you start adding those up. One of the commenters on Facebook said that her son started applying for scholarships when he was in eighth grade, and he just took it very seriously and he was very strategic, and he ended up getting, get this, over $500,000 in scholarships. And she said a lot of this had to do with, he was just very persistent. He applied for over 100 different scholarships, or maybe it was 200, a lot of scholarships, and he was strategic about how he did it. He searched for things he was interested in. He searched for different volunteer opportunities that he had been a part of. He was involved in extracurricular activities. He was involved in student leadership types of things. And he was just very strategic and intentional in his high school years to set himself up for success. And so he was able to get everything paid for, plus a study abroad program. Plus he also got I think he was getting some kind of master's degree too. Everything, including room and board for all of it, was completely paid for. And that was just because he put in a lot of effort. And so challenge your student. I know I keep saying this, but I just feel like this, put in the work and effort and see it as a part-time job, because I think they're going to make a whole lot more by applying for scholarships than they ever would if they were putting that same amount of time into an actual job. And I think them having an actual job is also a wonderful thing, but challenge them to do both. And then look into, we talked about this a little bit, but what does your income qualify you for? Because sometimes with different situations, it just might depend upon your financial situation, but you might qualify for some things that you didn't realize that you would, state funding or grants that would be applied to college tuition. We talked about kids having jobs. I think that's also really important. And so encourage them to start saving when they're young. Set some goals. You know, maybe when they're 14 or 15, they're only going to be able to set aside $1,000 or $2,000 a month, but not a month, $1,000 or $2,000 a year. But as they get older, and hopefully they're going to make a little bit more money, like every year, if they're setting aside money for college, that can add up. And if they do all of these things together, then hopefully they're not going to actually need to pay that much for school. And what they've saved can actually be applied toward that. Or as in the case of our girls, you know, something that they can put towards their living expenses and have the money for that. Another thing that a lot of people suggested was to find a job with tuition reimbursement. And so where your kids work, that can be a big kind of ticket to them getting some great scholarships. And so look for companies that reimburse partial or full college tuition, and you know, see if there are any in your area. I have been surprised to find out so many different places that offer this. And if you're willing to work there for, you know, while you're in college, you might be able to get college paid for. Another thing is a parent working at a college is a great way for you to be able to get a tuition discount. I know that some people talked about how it's not like you could be doing janitorial stuff, or you could, there are a lot of jobs at colleges that are not what you would think of a typical working at a college. But if you are willing to do that, or have your student work at a college, again, like sometimes there are ways that if you're working at a college, you're also going to get a discount for going there. Another thing that I know a lot of people have done is to become an RA, a resident assistant. This is something that my brother has done, and you're usually not going to be able to do this when you are in your undergrad, but as you, or at least your first year or two, I mean, it depends upon the college, but in your later years, or if you're getting a master's degree, you will have free or very reduced room and board to, if you serve as an RA for your dorm floor. And so it's also a great opportunity to learn leadership skills and all sorts of things. So if that's kind of something that you're good at, that's another thing to consider. There are also colleges out there that you can go to for free, like College of the Ozarks. I have heard it's a little challenging to get in, but you get free tuition for working 15 hours per week. So you only do 2 40-hour weeks during the year, and then 15 hours per week the rest of the year, and you get free tuition. And so there are lots of different options. We're going to link to this post in the show notes, because I want you to go and I want you to look at the comments, especially if you're feeling like, well, none of these things will work for me, or really, Crystal, are you just crazy? Go yes. Read the comments. Okay, yes. And also, I didn't even go to college, so I feel a little bit of imposter syndrome sharing about this, but I've walked through college with you, Jesse, because we got married whenever you were still in college and then law school, and then, you know, walking through this with our girls. But go read the comments on this post, because there are a lot of them. And there are so many stories of creative thinking outside the box, suggestions, things that people wish they had done differently, things mm-hmm. that they learned. There's also some different things that I had never heard of. Like I talked to you about the American Opportunity Tax Credit. Like there are some things like that that I hadn't heard anybody talk about before. And so there's just so much wisdom in the comments on this post. And so we'll link to that in the show notes. I want you to go check out the comments there for a lot more discussion and information. And also, we want to hear from you. Did you go to college debt-free? Did your kids? Are your kids? What have you learned? What suggestions and advice and tips have you picked up that we haven't talked about? Or maybe you disagree with something we share on here. We always love to hear back from you, as long as you're kind and constructive, which y'all are always are. You're not like the Facebook people. A very microscopic amount of Facebook people, but some of them have some very interesting opinions. Anyway, send me an email, crystal@moneysavingmom.com. And Jesse, I know you had something else you wanted to share.
So I know this is a huge paradigm shift for some people. You're going to have to change your mindset. This isn't because, you know, of a mindset shift that we had. It was given to us by our parents. Mm-hmm. And if you make this mindset shift now, this is something that you could pass on to your children. And think how much further than, say you were only able to go a quarter of the way. Think how much further, if your children adopt that same mindset shift, how much further they could take it. Maybe they could go halfway. Maybe they could go all the way later on with their children. This is not just you. This is generational. But it starts with you. And it starts with making a decision that, yeah, I'm going to think outside the box. I'm going to do something that other people may say that is not possible. Just be willing to try. That's all we're asking. Think about it and just try.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.